Good morning, Peace Church. It's good to be together. It's good to be opening God's Word. We're going to continue our series on the parables of Jesus about the kingdom of God as told in Matthew chapter 13. Today we're going to be taking a look at the parable of the pearl of great price. Actually, we're going to be looking at two parables, which are kind of two sides of exactly the same coin. As we've been looking at this series, we see Jesus unpacking for us and showing us what the kingdom of God is all about, what it looks like. I would say that the parable this morning is my favorite of all of the parables of the kingdom. Because this is the parable that sort of shows, like, this is what happens when you get it. When you really understand the kingdom, it's going to look just like this. So that's what we're looking at this morning. If you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 44 through 46. What does it look like when we've really grasped the beauty and the precious nature of the kingdom of God? That's what Jesus is going to tell us. So we're looking at Matthew 13, 44 through 46. Jesus is speaking. Here's what he says. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has. Everyone say, all that he has. Sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had. Everyone say, all that he had. And bought it. This is the word of God. This morning, as we take a look at what Jesus is telling us, this is the main idea we're going to unpack. No sacrifice is too great if I gain everything in exchange. Would you say that with me? No sacrifice is too great if I gain everything in exchange. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this powerful message that has the power to bring us face to face with the depth of what life is all about. Lord, whether we've been a Christian for most of our lives or we don't know anything about Jesus, what you're revealing to us this morning, Lord, it has life-changing power. Lord, it's the beauty and the value and the goodness of your kingdom. Lord, I pray that we would see this morning just how good it is, and we would be willing to lay down everything for it and for its expansion in the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So no sacrifice is too great if I gain everything in exchange. Jesus' story has three components that I want us to look at. The first one that we're going to see is this, that life in God's kingdom is the greatest prize. Life in God's kingdom is the greatest prize. So these two parables are really about the same thing. In both parables, there is a prize that's won. One is won by a guy who's searching in a field and he finds something. The other is by a merchant who's diligently searching for the right pearl that he can find. And when he finds it, he's excited. It is the greatest prize that you could possibly hope for. And that's clear in these guys' response. But the first thing I want us to think about is the way in which Jesus wants us to grasp how precious the kingdom of God is. We've been talking about it for the last few weeks, and I want us to think about and reflect for just a moment, why is the kingdom of God so precious? Well, first of all, because of its very nature, the nature of its king, right? When we're part of the kingdom of God, we've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. We talked about that a few weeks ago, just the reality that if you're existing in the world apart from God, following Jesus Christ, then you are under the domain of a king, of a dictator who wants ultimately to destroy you. And that's a terrible thing, right, when you think about that. He wants to lead not just to your mortal life being destroyed, but your eternal life being destroyed and disintegrated over an eternity. That's the agenda of the king who rules over this world. Jesus is a king who lays down his life so that we can have life. And to come into the kingdom of God is to come into the peace that kingdom brings. And when we read the Old Testament, we see all kinds of glimpses and images of what the kingdom of God is going to be all about. And it gives these beautiful pictures of like a wolf and a lamb and a child all laying down together. They're not hurting each other. It's beautiful. It's peaceful. That kids will play over the nest of an adder, a snake, right? I mean, that kind of, I don't care. I don't care how long I'm in heaven. I don't think I'm going to want to play around snake holes. That's just not for me, okay? But these beautiful images swords are beaten into plowshares, where spears are turned into pruning hooks. All these things are images of peace. Images of life, images of abundance. And this is what characterizes the kingdom of God. And listen, this is what's so important. The kingdom of God doesn't start when heaven comes to earth. The kingdom of heaven has started because heaven came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus came into this world, he was able to say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here. And you can enter into this kingdom. And Jesus made it possible for us to enter into that kingdom by shedding his blood and welcoming us in. And when we come into this kingdom, we find peace. We find the peace of our identity in Jesus Christ. There's nothing that brings peace into your life like really grasping how God sees you. There's nothing that brings peace into your life like that. When you understand that because of Jesus' blood, the price he paid to adopt us into the family, when you understand that, then you know that God loves you as a father loves a child. That brings peace into your heart. Because you know no matter what circumstances look like, you have a father who loves you, who welcomes you in. That changes everything. Gives you peace. You have the peace of security. You know what's going to happen when you breathe your last breath, if you're a Christian. When you live in the kingdom of God, it's not over when you take that last breath. In fact, it's just gotten even better. Now, when you're looking and trying to define your life goals and your life purpose, a lot of people, they'll ask you a question. They'll say, what would you do if money and failure were not issues? Like if you had all the resources you need to do what you wanted to do, and if you knew that you could not fail, what is it you would do with your life? Those are powerful questions, aren't they? But guess what? If you're in the kingdom of God, then that is your position right here and now today. Because you serve a king whose resources are limitless. The only question is, God, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to go forward? And if you know that question, then even if things appear on the surface to crash and burn, that is not failure for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Adam, for saying that. Thanks for sharing that incredible truth with such passion, because it's life-changing. We have the peace of the kingdom of God, right? And that peace gives you purpose. You now know what you're there for. And it doesn't just give the purpose of like, okay, this is what I want to do with my life. It brings purpose into the moment by moment day of your existence. Hear me. When you come into the kingdom of God, it's like you've been given a new set of lenses, glasses that you put on. And now you see things that nobody else sees. What everybody else sees is some sort of like you get into a situation and there's an irritating thing that you're dealing with, an irritating person that you're dealing with. You know what everybody else sees? They just see an irritating thing that they're having to deal with. But if you have the eyes of the kingdom, what you see is, oh, Lord, thank you. This isn't a problem. This is a possibility. You want to remind me that in Christ I have all the patience I need. You've given me your Holy Spirit, and I can show love in this circumstance. And this is a chance to experience more of your Holy Spirit pouring your resources into my life so I can live and exhibit the life of Jesus. Now, that's just one tiny little example. But when you understand that you have peace with God, that you're a child of God, your identity in Christ, then suddenly your whole existence, your moment-by-moment walk is imbued with purpose. And that, I believe, helps you live your life with passion. I believe the kingdom of God is a place where passionate people are unleashed. Why? Because they know they have peace. They're not worried about their existence. They have purpose. They know what they're here to do. And that gives them a passion. Anybody like Winnie the Pooh? You know, and I think about a life of passion. I think, and I know this is simplistic, but I believe you can often divide people, you can divide groups, you can divide the room into two groups. You've got your Tiggers and you've got your Eeyores. Amen? Eeyore can find the dark cloud in any blue sky. Eeyore, his greatest hope is, well, maybe I'll get some thistles. You know, that's Eeyore's existence, right? Tigger is completely different. Tigger lives in a world of possibility, you know? The wonderful thing about Tiggers is Tigger's a wonderful thing. Their tops are made out of rubber. Their bottoms are made of string. They hop, hop, hop. I can't even know the whole song. But I mean, there's this dude who can... He falls down, he gets back up. It takes a lot to make Tigger drag his tail, and you know what? It doesn't take much to get him out of it. Now listen, I am not talking about some like self-help, power of positive thinking, mumbo-jumbo psychological stuff. I'm talking about the power of seeing things through a kingdom lens. And when you see things that way, when you know you're a child of God, when you know He has something for you right here and now in this very moment, you better be passionate. Amen? Amen? Amen. Number two, the greatest prize can be found in different ways. The greatest prize can be found in different ways. This is one of those cool things about this story. So Jesus is telling the story. The first is about a guy, right? Look at verse 44. A man found, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and covered up. The image here is of a guy he's either walking through a field, he bumps into something, he looks down, he sees something, and then hides it and goes off. Or maybe he's leased a field and he's working in that field, and anyway, he finds it. He's not looking for it, but he finds it. The second guy is different. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of pearls. In other words, this guy is a seeker. He's going after it. You know what I love about the kingdom of God? Is that God draws people into it in all different ways. That's a beautiful, amazing thing. I believe if we were to go around this room and I talk with a lot of you, I'd hear different stories about how God brought you into the kingdom. And there, some of the stories would surprise you. Some of you were just going about your everyday life and suddenly, bam, like a lightning bolt, God worked in your heart. Some of you grew up and this life in the kingdom has been something you've been aware of since you were a little kid and you're just seeking to grow in it. That's the beauty of the kingdom of God. It also shows us just how important it is that we're people who are willing to share the kingdom of God with other people. Because you never know how your story, you never know how your life might be the moment that awakens another person to the reality of the kingdom of God. That's why we are sent out. Okay, third thing I want you to see is the greatest prize requires the same price. The greatest prize requires the same price. Again, look at what these guys do. It says he found a treasure, covered it up, verse 44. Then in his joy, everyone say in his joy. Let's try that one more time. In his joy, there we go. He goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And then again in verse 46, same thing. Who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. You know, the price of entry into the kingdom of God has ultimately been paid by one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And in shedding his blood, he made it possible for us to be reconciled to God. He paid the adoption price so that we can be adopted into the family of God. But here's the thing. If you understand this and if you get this, he only asks for one thing, that you have faith to believe it. What does faith look like? What is it he wants from us? The answer is simple. Everything. If you understand the goodness of Jesus, and if you understand the nature of the kingdom of God, then let me tell you something. You understand that everything is a good deal. In
fact, that's exactly the response of both of these guys. You know, on one hand, you look and you're like, this is crazy. All of your possessions for one pearl? Is the guy an idiot? No, he's not an idiot. He's someone who knows exactly how much this treasure is worth, right? He knows. And he's so excited because he knows that I can't believe it. I can get rid of all of this and I get this in response? Oh my goodness. And if you've actually met Jesus, if you've actually encountered Jesus, then you know that serving him is worth everything. You know that there's nothing that he can ask from you that can compare with what he wants to give to you. This is the nature of the kingdom of God. It leads us to a place where to pursue him and to receive him and to follow him is worth everything. Everything that we can give. Every comfort that we can surrender. Every perceived sacrifice is promised in the end to lead to God's amazing supernatural supply. How do we live in this kingdom? How do we live in response to this message? I want to look at just two questions. First question to ask yourself is, what kind of seeker am I? What kind of seeker am I? You know, we saw that one guy's not looking for it, the other guy's diligently searching for it. What kind of seeker am I? When I think about people who come to church, I think this is an important question. Because you know what? The seeking doesn't stop. There's always more of God to know. There's more of him to experience. There's more of the kingdom reality that he wants to reveal to you. So ask yourself a question. Maybe you're an occasional seeker. I meet that kind of seeker a lot in the church. You know, like, you seek the Lord when you need him. Kind of like one of those, like, help me, Jesus, kind of prayers. You know, those prayers that you throw up when you're in the midst of a desperate situation, and that's what drives you to seek him. I've friends, close friends, who I would call disillusioned seekers. You know, they something in the church happened, disappointed them. Some leader disappointed them. They just kind of drifted, and they just like, oh, that whole Christianity thing, that's not for me anymore. You know, the amazing thing about Jesus is that he's offering us. This kind of blows my mind. As a parent, have you ever had your kids where you're trying to get something to them to do one thing, it's really good for them, and if they just do it, then they get something that's really awesome? Have you ever had that happen with your kids? It's like, if you'll just take this one bite, then you get this enormous ice cream sundae, right? And it's like, how do you not get this? Just one little tiny bite. Just take the little bite of the ground carrots, please. Then you get this. Jesus says to us something just unbelievable. Jesus says all that we have to be willing to do is to seek him. And he says, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you search for me with all your heart. Are you an all-in seeker this morning? Do you want more of the kingdom? Because there's more he has to give. There's more he has. Yes, there's more he'll want from us. But when we see the beauty of who he is, man, let me just tell you something. Any sacrifice is worth receiving everything. And Jesus is everything.